Welcome, everyone, to the Union Federation podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network, where we discuss both Star Trek and the Orville here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And on this episode, we are discussing Lower Deck Season 3, two episodes. Back to back here, we're talking is Episode 5 of Season 3 of Lower Decks, Reflections, and Episode 6, Hear All, Trust Nothing, a.k.a. the Deep Space Nine episode. Excited to talk about that one. But before we go on, I need to introduce my co-host. And of course, as always, I'd like to welcome Miss Amy Nelson. How are you?
Well, hello, hello. I'm excited to learn about Orions, but you know, all I've learned is from those Holosuites novels, and they're terrible. The one with the boobies, you've read them, Kevin.
Yes. And apparently they know a little bit about pirating. So we'll
yes.
That's not a rumor anymore. Yes. So, yeah. Well, you know what? Let's get right into it, guys. We're really, really excited. So let's get into our first away mission and discuss Star Trek Lower Deck Season 3, Episode 5, Reflections. Amy, would you like to hit us up with our episode mission log synopsis?
Yes. Rutherford's implant malfunctions, allowing an alternate personality to take over. During a skirmish with security, Rutherford ends up in a coma. In his mindscape, Rutherford realizes that the personality is his younger self, whose memories were saved before he received his implant. An angry first-year recruit in Starfleet, who funds his unsanctioned engineering projects by secretly building and racing space vehicles, he challenges Rutherford to a race with any vehicle they can imagine. The winner gets control of the body. Rutherford wins by piloting a Starfleet ship crewed by his lower deck friends. His younger self concedes, seeing that his new life brought growth, and shares a memory of how they got their implant before he disappears. Young Rutherford's experimental engine blew up, gravely injuring him. Shadowy members of Starfleet installed the implant to erase his memories of their own mysterious illegal activity. Meanwhile, Ransom assigns Boimler and Mariner to staff the Starfleet recruitment booth at Tolgana 4's job fair, warning them not to step out of line. They are provoked and mocked by various attendees, including a smug former Starfleet officer, Petra Aberdeen. Boimler tries to keep Mariner calm until he snaps himself and rampages through the fair, berating the other attendees for taking everything Starfleet does for them granted. His actions inspire attendees to sign up with Starfleet. Later, Ransom punishes Boimler with a night in the brig, but commends him for defending Starfleet. Mariner receives a communication from Aberdeen, who apologizes, but offers her a job if she ever finds Starfleet too confining.
You know, Boimler spending a night in the brig kind of reminds me that, you know how Martha Stewart did some prison time and got some cred, some street
yes.
cred? I think he might get some street cred a little bit down there in Lower Decks after this.
Well, maybe Snoop Dogg will have Boimler on his show.
I know, right?
He might learn to knit some or shawls or yeah. crochet.
Bold Boimler needs some street cred. So there we go. Amy, your first reactions to this episode. First of all, there's a kind of like the little dark side to it that we get here, of course, with Rutherford and some nefarious things that seem to have happened that caused his weird implants and everything. Section 31. I don't know. I just blurted that out. I don't right. know. And then we get this fun. These are things that we would never get in Star Trek elsewhere. And that's what I love about Lower Decks. A job fair. I don't know if you've ever had to work one of those or attend one of those. Not so much fun. Anyway, your thoughts on the episode?
Yeah, I sort of like this. On All Good Things, we have a series called Mirror Reflections, which is about the mirror universe. So there were a lot of callbacks, especially like to Discovery of, you know, where we saw, the engineer of Discovery. See his reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Stamets?
What? Stamets. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. Yeah. And so that was really fun. I'm like, okay, so is this our mirror universe? But I don't know that it would really fit that definition because it's his younger self. It's not an alternate universe, right?
Well, yeah, I think so. But just remember, the most important part about that, though, Amy, is that we don't always have to travel around the sun or go back in time to save Earth. It only happened 4 or 5 times. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. But so one of the call-outs I got to throw at the top. It's a silly little thing, but I loved it, was the Collector's Guild. The guy that looked like the alien, I don't know if you remember his name or not, but remember when Data was captured within the Most Toys by Faggio? Uh-huh. And he had that collector buddy come by. His name was Palar Toph, and he had that weird little gold thing across his head. That was one of the species that showed up at the booth. He was one of the collectors. And I know this well because I used to play the card game, Star Trek card game, and also work for the company eventually later that made it. And there was a card called Palar Toph, and it was one of those cool cards that you would play in the game to like get a card and stuff like that. And so I always remembered that guy's name, and I thought it was funny that it was that same alien that came to visit him to kind of check on his collection and Data and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, that job fair scenes were too perfect. Like, who hasn't been to a job fair? I definitely have been to many job fairs myself. And yeah, there's the tables and the animosity and the, our booth is better than that one, you know, and it all gets summed up in these scenes and it's just brilliant.
Well, I thought we would kind of go over some of that stuff. First of all, a funny line. How do we know you don't have, you know, was it butt bugs? While running a recruiting booth, Boimler and Mariner are confronted with conspiracy theorists who rattle off a couple of disconnected ideas surrounding real events. But when mentioned parasites taking over Starfleet command, Mariner admits that did happen in the Star Trek universe. The difference between reality and conspiracy is negligible. But what's funny is that they went through the neck, not the butt.
Yeah.
Which is still a really creepy first season episode to watch, I just got to say.
Really is, yes.
I do want to go off on a little bit of a Starbase 80 tangent here. When Mariner complains about having to run the booth, Ransom threatens to send her to Starbase 80, which quickly shuts her up. Ransom has no plans on sending anyone there, though he later acknowledges to Boimler that Starbase 80 is an empty threat because not even Mariner deserves that. I had to kind of look up some stuff, and I found some memory beta alpha information. In the year 2365, and this was in the TNG novel Fortune's Light, while Guinan was waiting at the starbase for the Federation starship Enterprise D to pick her up, she was told a story by Jake Stutzman, the very same story that she later was told by Geordi LaForge, where he claimed credit for Stutzman's action. And then it was mentioned again when USS Voyager encountered the USS Equinox in the Delta Quadrant. Captain Ransom said that he had previously been on an Intrepid class ship as a science officer for a visit while at Starbase 80. Hmm. And there's some other references to Starbase 80, but apparently it's not a really cool place to go to.
Yeah. Well, Ransom says it's a hellhole.
Yes. Probably no relation. I also liked, while being mocked by civilians while attending the recruiting booth, one of the complaints was why they change uniforms all the time. Both Boimler and Mariner comment that it's not crazy of an idea to update uniforms, while also commenting that not every ship has to wear the same thing.
Yeah, we even have the cool flap.
Yeah.
But I think that's so funny because many fans, myself included, like, why are we changing uniforms every season? Like, you look at TNG, you have your season one, and then you have two to the rest of the end of the series, right?
What's interesting, you know, you're right. What's interesting is
Deep Space
Orville Nine. Did it, but it wasn't as drastic. There was just some little bit of updates and stuff like that I noticed. But I want to touch on the Boimler rant here. It's when a crowd starts gathering to mock Starfleet at the recruitment booth most, if not at all, the complaints are related to things said by critics of the franchise or more militant fans. So they're speaking to the actual Star Trek fans that have complained about these things. The reason you suck speech after Boimler hits the rage breaking point, he goes into other recruiting groups and tells them off for being ungrateful bastards and then flips their tables. I'm going to try to do a little reenactment here. Okay. Okay. Here we go. I'm Boimler. Without Starfleet, none of you would exist. And then he leaps over to the geologist booth. You don't want to protect you from the Klingons or the Borg. We just want to explore and study you effing quasars. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. He leaps to the truthers booth. Stupid bleeping truthers. You hate the truth. You're just a bunch of pathetic gossiping weirdos. He leaps at the collector's booth. Collecting is stupid. It doesn't make you happy. Your ship smells like ass. At the Wadi booth. You're always getting people trapped inside games. Stop trapping people inside games. Goes on a rampage. Manager ends up recruiting people. The doctor didn't spend 7 years trapped in the Delta Quadrant for you effers to question this agency. He's got rights. I love the call out to the Wadi booth, the DS9 game that they got stuck in. God, I'm forgetting the name of it right now. Oh my God. Move Along or something
move
like
along
that.
Home.
Yeah, Move Along Home. Yeah. Now we'll get into the, I guess the main plot A of Rutherford when we get into the article section. But I thought this was pretty funny because it really kind of speaks from a fan's point of view of all the times people have complained about certain things. But it also calls out all these aliens that did these really weird things. Was there anything else that jumped out at you there during that rant or that scene doing the booth?
Yeah, those were really quite fun. The stop trapping people in games, that was definitely jumped out at me. And then, yeah, I totally missed that last one talking about the doctor in the Delta Quadrant. But I liked how it was the Vosh character, the independence archaeologist. Mm-hmm. And yes. How she, I just lost it.
That was Georgia King playing Petra Aberdeen. Yes.
Yeah. And how she's like, don't sign up to Starfleet. They get assimilated into the Borg. Hope you like black tubing.
Yeah.
Mariner's like, well, that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that character. I thought she was great. Well, let's get into the article, which covers the main plot in this episode. All right. Our friends at Den of Geek, Amy, they did a really cool job of kind of zeroing in on the sinister, as they say, Deep Space Nine influence on Star Trek. And no, we're not talking about the next episode. This is the one with Rutherford and how this takes some inspiration from a classic Deep Space Nine episode as it challenges some of what we think and know about our beloved Ensign Sam Rutherford. There's a lot. Look, oh, by the way, this is done by John J. Kirk. Yep, that's his name. Dated September 22nd. Check it out. Check out his work there on Den of Geek. Goes on to say, there's a lot of looking back in this week's episode of Star Trek Lower Decks, which apparently titled Reflections. The first subplot is rife with suspicion involving Ensign Sam Rutherford, played by Eugene Cordero, who, after a routine purge of his implant's memory cache, starts to experience problems with his suppressed personality and memories that suggest that the lovable and happy-go-lucky Rutherford isn't exactly the person we all thought he once was. Quote, Rutherford is a character who is all about memories and identity. He always knows who he is. Star Trek Lower Deck showrunner Mike McMahon tells us, setting the scene for a storyline that throws some of the perceptions we have about Rutherford into a bit of doubt. Not only does he have a repressed personality inside him, but Reflections also sets up the possibility that there might be a suspicious reason for his cybernetics. Quote, I definitely wanted to do a story to explain where Rutherford got his implant from, McMahon says. Rutherford's story in this episode was partially inspired by the revelations we learn about Dr. Julian Bashir in Deep Space Nine. He says, referring to the classic Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode, Dr. Bashir, I presume, in which it was revealed that Dr. Bashir was actually a genetically enhanced being. that secret that was sent his father, that that secret that sent his father to prison for 2 years and almost caused Bashir to lose consciousness as a Starfleet officer. Revelations like these changed Bashir's character forever and spawned a series of stories that sometimes had sinister repercussions. McMahon sees similar implications for Rutherford down the road. The parallels with Julian Bashir's secret background could potentially put Rutherford on a similar path for fans to discover more about him in future Star Trek Lower Deck episodes. After all, who doesn't love a good character origin story? So, Amy, this was a big deal with Deep Space Nine. Honestly, it made Bashir a lot more interesting, you know, because he was kind of like the doctor chasing after, you know, the coworker, you know, or having some adventures with, his engineer buddy there in the holodeck and, you know, having some good one-on-one, of course, with our friendly Cardassian Taylor. But then this happens, and then some stories kind of came in. Section 31 was after him for a little bit there. So this was an implant, was a cover-up, and there's a surgeon in a silhouette that wants himself erased from Rutherford's memory. What's your thoughts about this take on Rutherford?
Yeah, so with sort of the talk of the recent eugenics and stuff like that, I'm wondering, is he one of the byproducts coming from that? And who could be this sinister doctor going around doing genetically enhancing people? I don't know. Like, wasn't Bashir, his parents elected him, like they gave their permission, right?
Yeah, which so is why I don't know. His father got in trouble, right? Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. Did Rutherford give his permission? I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. What I like about this, Amy, and I wanted to get your thought on this side of it. And I like yours, by the way. I didn't even think about that. That's cool. But what I think is cool that we get a kind of dark, sinister side here of Lower Decks is that Lower Decks is funny. And we enjoy it for the reasons. We enjoy it for all the throwbacks and Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. But I like it when it kind of starts to ground itself in reality because it's canon, even though they're calling out other canon things all the time. But it's nice to know that there is a drama side that they want to throw in here. It's not just all, you know, happy, jokey stuff like that. I like the fact that they're kind of taking certain parts of Star Trek serious. And I think doing this with a character that seems happy-go-lucky was part of an experiment to hide a secret for nefarious reasons, I think is a cool thing to do. And I think they should do this. What do you think?
I'm going to have to disagree. I don't want them messing with Starfleet, I guess, too much. Because think about the first episode. The whole episode was, trust Starfleet, Mariner. Mm-hmm. They will get to the truth. Trust Starfleet. Trust the process. And so now we're having this where, Starfleet is not on the up and up. I don't know how I feel about that unless it's instantly identified as a small group trying to overtake Starfleet.
We
haven't gotten that yet.
He was wearing a Starfleet badge. We noticed that. So there's always been something in Starfleet, there's the bad roles, whether it's Section 31 or something like that. So I see your point. Because we're like tired of Section 31, and when we talk Discovery, we're really getting tired of that, of them kind of being bad or whatever, you know, doing, crossing the lines to get things done for Starfleet.
Right.
They do have to tread lightly. And I kind of see that's where you're kind of feeling about this. You want Starfleet to basically be the machine that it is and have the reputation that it does and have the people work together as they do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some episode trivia, some Easter eggs. About 5 minutes in, the first shot of the planet, Eagle 5 from Spaceballs, 1987, flies over the city. I didn't catch that. I thought that was funny. I had to watch it again. a potential Starfleet recruit asked to transport crewmen ever get to sit on the bridge, which Mariner says could happen. The most famous transporter chief in Star Trek, Miles O'Brien, was first introduced as an unnamed extra sitting on the bridge of the Enterprise D. Yeah, he was kind of like, what, flying it or doing some navigation, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah. I love that.
The archaeologist tells a potential recruit that they're signing up for 7 years in a windowless room. In the 80s, 90s, most Star Trek shows ran for 7 years until their contracts ran out. I thought that was pretty funny. I didn't catch this at first. At the Star Trek recruiting booth, Boimler and Mariner have a cutout of Kirk and Spock from the 1970s Star Trek animated series, as well as a model of the Constellation-class starship, similar to the one Picard kept in his ready room, though Picard's was gold rather than the gray one seen there. I did see that ship, but I didn't notice the Kirk and Spock cutout. I thought that was
Cool. I'm going to have to go. And I just watched it before getting on. Darn it.
Younger Rutherford says that he funded construction of his own engine by winning Devron races. Older Rutherford boxed, saying that those go through the neutral zone are illegal. The Devron system was the location of the anti-time anomaly in the Star Trek series finale. I remember that very well. It was located in the neutral zone, or in the scene set in the future, the former neutral zone, as the zone was abolished prior to those events. I remember that. Let's get to the Devron system. the Delta Flyer and accompanying racing uniforms are both taken from the episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Eugene Cordero is Filipino-American. The ship that Rutherford was working on was called the Sampugaita, which is the national flower of the Philippines.
Yay. You know, I saw that and I'm like, that has got to mean something. So I'm so glad you have that trivia.
I've got a bunch more, but I was wondering if there's anything else about the trivia you wanted to speak to, anything that you didn't notice. I had to watch this a couple of times to catch up on some of this stuff.
You know, I really liked the mindscape that we had, the all white, totally took me back to Inner Light and TNG.
Yeah. I love seeing the Delta Flyer design again. That was one of my favorite things that Paris's character got to do. It was nice. It was kind of like this cool shuttle that looked like a hot rod, a really cool, sleek design. And it was nice to see them use that effectively in Voyager on away missions, and whether there are some battles they had to use it in. It was just a really cool thing to add. I've always loved that design. Honestly, one of my favorite Star Trek designs of all time is the Delta Flyer. Love it, love it, love it.
So, yeah. Well, and talking about all the need of new and improved uniforms, Rutherford's like, and I've got my uniform to go with the Delta Flyer. And they look good.
Yes, yes. Well, before we head into the break and we head into our away mission number two, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about Reflections?
No, I do just hope that with Rutherford's story, I feel like it's just going to be breadcrumbs. We're not really going to get an answer, maybe just a little bit. I feel like this is just going to be over many seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think they're going to want, I mean, I think other people will have been affected by this, and I think that will come into play. And I think they should kind of play out a little bit too, because, you know, when they make reference to, you know, when your implant kind of shorts out a little bit, that was me and blah, blah, blah. I was trying to get out, you know, and I think that's important that we, you know, if that happens again, it triggers something in us going, uh-oh, are they going to reference that, you know, whether it's just something there. But yeah, I think it's something they should hold on to and maybe have like a two episode thing and kind of tie it in that way. But the events of like a work fair are the things that I mentioned that I love about this show. And I hope they do other, I'm not going to say mundane Starfleet things, but when they do mundane Starfleet things, whether it's cleaning up, you know, first contact thing that the main galaxy class ships probably take care of, this is where this show excels at. And that's what Lower Decks does best.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the deep cuts. I mean, you just really can tell that Mike McMahon is a true fan.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. We're going to go ahead and transport out of here. We're going to hit a break and let you know what else is happening on the Fandom Podcast Network. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to Union Federation. This is episode 148. We're discussing Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3, Episodes 5, Reflections, and coming up now, Episode 6, Hear All, Trust Nothing. Let's head on to Away Mission number 2. All right, Amy, looking forward to talking about this one called Hear All, Trust Nothing. This episode aired September 29th. Would you like to take us into our episode mission log synopsis? Now, just want to let you know, a lot happens, so have fun.
All right. Well, we have Captain Carol Freeman oversees trade negotiations with a Karema at Deep Space Nine alongside Kira Nerys. Mariner struggles to be personable with Jen's friends who engage in pretentious salons where they engage in bad performance art and light candles charged with their intentions. Tendi and Rutherford tour DS9, but encounter an Orion DS9 officer, Mesk, who tags along, excited to meet another Orion and relishing in their culture's criminal behaviors to Tendi's chagrin. Meanwhile, failing negotiations force Freeman to seek out Quark, who has invented a new replicator used in his successful bar franchises, Quark's. The Karema are livid upon seeing Quark's replicator and kidnap him, using a device to shut down all power on DS9. The power failure seals the salon attendees inside their room, which begin losing oxygen rapidly due to the candles. Mariner tries to gently suggest extinguishing the candles, but Jen's hysterical friends refuse to listen. Jen tells Mariner not to worry about her friends affecting their relationship and gives her permission to handle them as she usually would. Mariner gleefully stuns them all with her phaser to reduce their oxygen intake. She and Jen extinguish the candles, kiss, and stun themselves. Meanwhile, Tendi erupts at Mesk, saying that Orion's pirate culture makes her ashamed. Mesk confesses that he was adopted on Earth and only learned of their culture through trashy novels and others' expectations of him, adopting the persona with no other Orions around to tell him differently. Tendi sympathizes and tells him to just be himself. They witness the Karema absconding with Quark aboard their ship. Using her impressive pirate skills, Tendi single-handedly commandeers the vessel, allowing DS9 to apprehend the Karema. In the brig, the Karema reveal that Quark's replicators were made of their stolen technology and that Quark was being arrested, not kidnapped. Freeman forges a successful negotiation where the Karema receive 76% of Quark's franchise profits. Tendi resolves to embrace her heritage.
Amy, I need you to answer this next question very truthfully. Okay. Mm-hmm. How many times have you been at, a baby shower or maybe a wedding rehearsal, something where you and all the girls are kind of hanging out and you don't know them all and you wish you could have just stunned all of them?
You know, it's funny, but I find this part of the episode, why is Jen having these friends if she wants to continually to hang out with him when you know she prefers spending time with Mariner and just sort of the fakeness of the friends?
It's a social status power thing that, yeah, you know, social circles, unfortunately, kind of people, linger on to, But yeah, I agree. You know, so you, when I get to a certain age, you start cutting ties with those, yep, type of people that are into that and stuff like that. So I just thought that was
my least favorite part of the episode. Everything else, let's talk about.
Being in the Star Trek world, I might have second thoughts about getting a tooth implant made out of, Latinum. I think that was Latinum anyway. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, your first reactions to seeing this?
Oh my gosh. You get the chills. I mean, the music swells and they do the drive-by of the pylons and then they do it again. Like,
hold on. I haven't laughed so hard, not just at Star Trek, but any show in a long time with that scene. Ransom to the pilot, just circle around and pretend like we're admiring the pylons. Deep Space, cue the Deep Space Nine music. And then she looks at him going, just keep circling.
Because you're laughing at yourself. I mean, every movie has a drive-by of the Enterprise or now the station. It is so fitting. We have to have it. It's iconic. We laugh at it, but if it wasn't there, we would be upset.
Oh God. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to mention that it happened. What else was it that you that jumped out at you that you enjoyed?
My other favorite part is Shax and Kira. The one-upmanship and, well, I had to save you because you saved me, and just all throughout the episode, and to hear the fun, well.
And it was done with that Bajoran, like, yes, I'm madder and bitter at the world angst, because, we've been in one Cardassian concentration camp after another, and we've been suppressed, and yes.
Yeah. That was just the highlight to see Shax and Kira.
That's a live action I would love to see. God, mm-hmm, who could play a Shax? That would be interesting. And I have to think about that. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. And having Kira look at the window, end of what we leave behind.
Yeah.
And see the wormhole in the window. That was very beautiful. Very nice callback to this series finale.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That was nice. I had put in my notes, Shax and Kira, they cracked me up. I could have spent a whole episode of them just talking about trying to up one each other or like get pissed at each other for saving each other's lives. That was hilarious.
I know. Shax is just so angry. Well, I had to save you because we were both imprisoned and just like screaming, but like so appreciative of the friendship that they have. Hilarious.
Did you catch in this? I had to watch it again. Did you catch the one-off line that Mariner says? Oh, you don't want to head over there. You might get stuck in an alternate universe with Smiley. Did you catch that reference to Chief O'Brien's alternate universe character's name, Smiley? Yes,
in the mirror universe. Yes. That was very good.
And I got a real giggle out of Rutherford being so excited about dangling his legs off the DS9 second floor and wanting a heart-to-heart with a junior reporter. So many scenes of Sisko's son and Nog, right? Mm-hmm. Just hanging out, looking at people.
Well, and that makes sense because Rutherford has worn a Jake sweater previously, you know, so he's doing the Jake thing, hanging his legs off. So it's totally in character and how they're so excited to do all these things. And Mariner's like, you're such Taurus. Well, here we are. This is touristy Deep Space Nine.
I always wish they had built a full size DS9 set somewhere. That thing would have been so cool. Yeah. Okay, so the other thing was the whole like girls' night in. I called it like a beatnik slam poetry style night because they're all doing that this thing while they're like doing the poetry and stuff like that. It was pretty funny.
You know, I'm sorry to belabor the point, but when they get into issues and the station goes dark. These are officers, these are lower deckers. They should know how to handle themselves in a blackout.
Yeah. Like
they're on the Cerritos. Why are they acting all sorry for the terrible?
Maybe
girl?
That's why they're going to stay lower deckers. Maybe. I don't know, but yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
I just, that whole section fell flat
with me. I think they dumbed them down. And I'm going to use that word so that they can kind of move the little short plot line with, was it Jen and Mariner, I guess, and kind of, you know, I mean, the circle that Jen is with the girls there, I remember some of those in high school. I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not just talking about girls. I'm talking about guys, too. Mm-hmm. Not so smart. And when you have someone that's making, you know, alpha male or alpha female decisions and they're not that smart. And I had a lot of those memories come back this weekend because I went to my high school reunion at my high school. But it was one of those weird reunions that were kind of a byproduct of COVID where it was an all-year reunion. So no matter what year you graduated, you showed up.
Wow.
Didn't meet anyone I knew because everyone was an older class than I was, which I thought was really weird.
Wow. So what was the time frame window of
we had people class? From the 30s and 40s there. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was booths set up for each decade and you could sign a little thing. And I showed up and I was only the second person from the 1980s that had signed up.
Oh, wow.
But I did get to walk around my old high school and a lot of memories like that popped up. And I remember walking down an alley going, oh man, this was the alley where you got your ass kicked or bought weed from. I digress. I thought a very funny scene was that tool that, what's his name? The other Orion guy, what's his name?
Mesk.
The special tool that is kind of like the Doctor Who tool that can get in and do anything. And he's kind of bragging about it, but Tendi uses it and pulls the tooth out and is running. And they're all like, what are you doing? Oh my God, you're using the tool. And she's like, shh, I'm pirating. Tendi, I think, is my favorite character. I really love
her. Well, I think we saw that tool in Picard where it can fix anything or very similarly in Discovery with the programmable matter. Remember season 3 and they had this tool that the matter would program to whatever tool you were thinking.
Yeah, the sonic screwdriver.
That's a callback.
Yeah, the sonic screwdriver to Doctor Who's I was trying to compare it to. So I just I thought that was funny. Love that Tendi turned the tails, and even though she's ashamed of the pirating history of her race, she was able to do it, and her parents would have been proud.
Yeah.
Okay, there was one thing. I don't know if you picked up on it. It didn't bother me, but I did notice it. So Quark, God bless him, one of my favorite characters of Deep Space Nine, probably the glue that held that those episodes together and that series together, because he was always around. Mm-hmm. He always knew everybody. Armin Shimerman is great. Love to have him back. But when you listen to Quark on the TV series and you watch him, he's having to talk through his teeth prosthetics. Armin Shimerman doesn't have to wear those when he's doing the voice. And so it kind of threw me off a little bit. Is that weird?
No, and I am so glad you brought this up because first go around, I just thought it was a regular Ferengi. I didn't know it was Quark because I couldn't recognize Armin Shimerman as Quark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really, and I was like, oh my gosh, is that Quark? And then you see the credits. Okay, there it is.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's just like he has a certain way of talking because he has those teeth in him. And so he has to kind of work around that, just like all the people that have to sound a little different when they're talking through prosthetics and stuff like that.
So, yeah, that definitely is what it was. But I mean, Nana Visitor, you recognize immediately.
Yeah.
But Quark, that was one that was tough.
So yeah, as we mentioned, our guest stars were Armin Shimerman back as Quark, Nana Visitor as Colonel Kira Nerys. How nice was it to see them come back and do this? They must have had so much fun recording this.
Yes, I think so. And I think Nana Visitor was more herself than she was Kira.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yes, yeah. Now, speaking of Jennifer, Jen, returning character, Lauren Lapkus. I'm a big fan of her and her work. She's very funny. I do kind of want to see that relationship mature a little bit more with Mariner, because I think Mariner having another friend outside of the main crew would be a good thing. And maybe they have an adventure together. I was thinking about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And it was really nice to have Mariner go off so that we had the three on the station together. Yeah. Right. So again, these combinations that they're putting our crew together, I really, really like. And that's, in my opinion, what keeps it fresh and exciting and new.
Yeah. Yeah. Any comments on the rest of the cast or our wonderful guest stars?
Yeah. No, that was.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to get into the episode article here because we're going to get into some Deep Space Nine. So our friends at Den of Geek did a wonderful article, John Kirk again, talking about this episode. And he goes on to say, Star Trek Lower Decks Episode 6 is an unabashed love letter to another classic Trek series. In fact, every callback moment in this episode is designed to fill the audience with an overwhelming wave of nostalgia for Star Trek Deep Space Nine. The reasons? Characters, cultures, religions. Deep Space Nine is the Star Trek series that arguably has the richest, most recognizable lore in the franchise. That certainly comes out in this week's episode as we delve into why it seems more like a Deep Space Nine episode rather than a Lower Decks one. Now, Amy, I would have thought that if there was more cast members that they could have brought in for this, and I thought that would have been kind of fun. Let me ask you this. If you could have added one more other Star Trek Deep Space Nine character cast, who would it have been?
Okay, they should have gone to Garrick's Tailor Shop.
Yes! Oh, God, yes.
I mean, as they're saying the things to do, that Tailor Shop, of course, that's what I wanted to see, and I wanted to hear Garrick's voice again. I think that would have been a really nice addition that would have seamlessly gone into, because they're walking the promenade. Of course, we're going
to
see that.
If you bring in Sisko, you have to explain his return. If you bring in Odo, you'd have to do the same. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. Well,
what would you like to have seen?
That was my choice, too. Was
really?
Garrett. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because I wanted Rutherford to maybe buy something from him. And maybe his character, Garrick, who knows everything that's going on, could have been doing something maybe against Quark or maybe working together or something. That would have slid in there right away. I think that would have been really cool. Mm-hmm. So rules of acquisition, even the title of the episode, Here All Trust Nothing, is a callback to some of the lore that made DS9 a standout in Trek history, since Quark was such a big part of the episode. And because we wanted this episode to make a lot of profit, he had to go with a rule of acquisition for the title. Star Trek Lower Decks showrunner Mike McMahon jokes to us, but of course, if you're going to quote a Ferengi maxim, that can only mean something familiar is close behind. So that was cool that they did that. Return of Quark, of course. I love that. When Ensign Boimler's new bold Boimler personality manifests itself at Quark's Dabo tables, is a chance to not only meet another familiar character, but to also compare lung capacities. Quote, I mean, Jack Quaid can scream, but Armin Shimerman can scream like nobody else in the world, McMahon says. I loved working with Armin Shimerman. As for Shimerman, he told us this time with the crew of the USS Cerritos, I loved working with Lower Deck, Sherman says. Returning to play Quark was and was as easy and comfortable as slipping into a favorite bathrobe, warm and familiar. Of course, I had to brush my teeth. Bringing DS9 life to animation, the tone had to feel like Deep Space Nine as well, and moments that show that Lower Decks walking the promenade, passing by the storefronts, and familiar scenery all help set the scene. Moments like Rutherford wanting to chat with a familiar junior reporter, or the crew seeing some other well-known faces at Quark's bar and hearing shouts of Dabo all help. I thought, Amy, they did a great job of bringing us back to the promenade of Deep Space Nine. What was the ice cream treats that they used to have? The sticks? Can't remember the name of it, but I wish one of them would have talked about that a little bit more, I guess. So then we had the Orion Worf connection, Kira, of course. And he goes on to say, seeing objects like Ratigino mugs in different shots, Cardassian computer consoles in the background, and watching the Lower Decks interact with all these places and characters makes us recall what a thoroughly different series DS9 was from Star Trek Next Generation. Quote, I really love spending time there, utilizing these characters like the Gamma Quadrant 80 aliens that we had met before, keeping it so it didn't change anything. McMahon says, it was just like finding one extra little stocking stuffer at the end of Christmas. In the end, we don't remember what an impactful influence Deep Space Nine had on Star Trek fans and the franchise. But through the humor of Lower Decks, we see its richness and contributions to Star Trek lore. And we also remember the fun we had while, like its crew, were stationed there for a short time. Amy, I do have to, I think, change my answer.
Okay.
About what other character I would love to have seen on Deep Space Nine. If not just for a walk-by cameo, we should have seen Tosk show up. The guy that we met in Episode 5, Captain Pursuit, Season 1 of Deep Space Nine, had a wonderful relationship with our O'Brien, and he was also the first visitor through the wormhole. Not a lot of people remember that. That would have been cool if he had come back, you know, maybe just hanging out with Morn in the background there, you know?
Yeah, or at least seeing his species there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe not being hunted, although throwing in a quick hunting scene would have been funny. And then, like, you know, someone should have gone again. I don't know. Anyway, the article I wanted to ask you talks about how it just took us back there, like we were walking along. And the animation of Lower Decks is amazing. Whether it's that outside shot of Deep Space Nine, all the characters inside the promenade. I want to get your thoughts on the nostalgia that you were feeling during this episode.
Yeah, it again, seeing the pylons, but the music, and when they are walking the promenade, it felt like it did at Deep Space Nine. The busy, the hustle, all the different cultures. They captured the essence of it really quite remarkably. And to have Freeman on there working with Kira was a really fun dynamic, because I kept wanting to see Sisko, or I kept wanting to see at least Picard, or, you know, someone of that stature. And we're getting Freeman trying to work it out. It just missed that. I don't know. I guess Kira didn't fill that place of Sisko, of like, she's in command, you know?
Yeah. It's not like we saw the desk with the baseball on it or anything like that, you know? So,
I mean,
yeah.
She did toss the baseball and say, oh, it throws you a curveball. Okay. Nice reference. That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I guess there's a balance here of the aliens that they're having to deal with and the diplomacy and, you know, seeing, I'm sorry, what's the captain's name? Mariner's mom, forgetting her name.
Freeman.
Seeing her like stress out when Quark and the aliens are starting to, like, you know, get each other's throats, which is something you don't normally see with other Starship captains in live action, you know, but it's interesting to see that happen. And, I love the setting of it. And I got to tell you, Tendi coming out, being able to kick some butt and actually do some pirating, which I thought was great. And I love how they play into the stereotype. What do you think about the turn for Tendi in this?
Yeah, I thought that was very well done. So many people come from an culture or from a family that they don't really want to associate. And sometimes you do have to break ties. And so for her to be a representative of, you know, that subgroup, I think is really great. And then that cherry on the top of Rutherford's like, I like learning about you because that's makes up who you are. Like that, seriously, yeah. Cherry on sweet. The top. Well done.
That was a sweet moment. Yeah. Tendi is definitely one of my favorites. I love just the little things she shouts out. And, you know, she was the one that signed up at one of those recruitment booths, which I thought was funny. Well, let's get into a little. Yeah. Let's get into a little episode trivia here. So as much as I mentioned that I would love to have seen T'Sk come visit Deep Space Nine, Morn is seen seating at his usual spot at Quark's bar. The character played by Mark Alan Shepard in Star Trek Deep Space Nine has now appeared in 96 television episodes of Star Trek franchise, having never said a word on screen.
That is crazy.
I remember meeting Mark a long time ago at an early Star Trek convention at the Pasadena conventions when they used to have the Grand Slam events there. Very, very, very cool guy. So Star Trek officers serving aboard Deep Space Nine are wearing the gray and black style uniform from the TNG movies and the later seasons of the DS9, but with the comm badges introduced in Lower Decks. Previously, all the Starfleet officers in the gray and black uniforms were shown wearing the comm badges with the gold trapezoidal background, which the LD badges lack. While this is not necessarily an error, it does mark the first time that pieces of the California class uniforms are mixed and matched with the established TNG DS9 style uniforms. That is a deep cut.
That is. And it sort of goes to all those people who like to cosplay and mix and match badges and uniforms. You can do it. It's canon.
Yes. I love that. Well said. Yeah. And by the way, we mentioned the title, of course, Hear All, Trust Nothing, is the 190th Ferengi rule of acquisition. And I love how they're always adding to it. And I know there was that book that was released with all the acquisitions. And I think some more has been added to that since then. So anything else regarding this episode that you wanted to speak of or on the trivia? This was a really fun, not only visual episode, nostalgia episode. I think the whole thing with the with Freeman and that plot wasn't necessarily my favorite. I would have liked to have seen, I mean, it was funny at the end with Quark, and you know, I love that Mariner was kind of you know, forcing him to clear her tab because of the chip that he had, you know, and then, you know, Kira comes in and says, what is that? And he starts chasing himself. So that was kind of funny. But to me, it was all about the other people, Tendi and Rutherford and all those guys and the whole Orion thing that really kind of stood out for me. What about you?
Yeah. And I'm wondering if we are going to maybe hear of the Orion Syndicate now that it's, you know, we're being introduced to it a little bit more. I mean, we had the big Discovery season 3 with the Orion Syndicate. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I liked about it, it's sort of like, it's not high stakes. Like Freeman's trying to negotiate and it's a transport or not a transporter. It's a replicator issue at Quark's, you know, it's like, we're not saving the universe. And again, that sort of adds to the funniness that is Lower Decks. Cause we're, you know, we're trying to save Quark because of a bartender, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Who was it? The Boimler that said, oh no, what's the game that they play there?
Dabo.
I thought that was illegal or, you know, and then he was saying something about how there's nothing wrong with playing Dabo. It's an honest game. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm like, it's Quark's. Come on.
And so was he being serious? Like Quark's would never cheat or that was just.
No, I think he was being naive. I think he was being naive. So, yeah.
But it was so funny because even when the power goes out and they like shine a little flashlight, Dabo.
Yeah. I have to assume Quark gets away with a lot more now that Odo isn't around. So I don't know.
Right. Yes. I'm sure.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and head into our final thoughts and wrapping things up here. So, Amy, we are, episodes, we're about halfway through this season about, you know, we're on episode 6 and, I missed the last podcast that you guys did, but I wanted to ask you your thoughts on the season thus far. For me, and I want to see if you agree, I think it's still going pretty strong. I haven't felt like any lulls in anything. I mean, I've enjoyed some episodes more than others. I'm enjoying the series as a whole. I can't wait to watch the next episode and to see kind of what else they're going to throw out at us. But I'm also looking for the character development, and we're seeing that. And that was one of the things I was afraid of in the first season. Like, are these guys going to be quirky all the way through? So I want to ask you, how are you feeling about this season thus far? And are you enjoying this character development that we're getting from everyone?
Absolutely. It's I can't even believe it's season 3. I remember, starting off pretty slow season 1, getting really into it. Season 2, I just remember loving, and yeah. I am loving season 3, and truly these characters are developing at a deep level, but we're not getting touches on it every single episode, which is great because you can just see the accumulation of bold Boimler, right? We're getting to see that he truly is changing his behavior and changing his character so that he can get to command. He recognized a flaw with the help of his friends. And it's just these small little, choices that he's making. And same with Tendi and Rutherford and Mariner and their relationships together as one-on-one. And Mariner really, for her to not lose her temper, but it was Boimler, like, she's making changes. She's maturing and recognizing. So this slow character build is exactly what I'm used to, like in TNG. You'd get something maybe one, the beginning of a season, and then something a little later.
Right.
So yeah, it's really, and all of the callbacks, keep bringing them. I don't care if anyone says they're too many, it's not. So just keep bringing them.
Regarding Boimler, I liked your point on that. I love seeing, he's got to stop screaming though. That's my only nitpick about him. And I think that as he gets more brave, and I think there's a little bit of that that's happening slowly but surely. And I'm just wondering, like, when he does get that transfer to, like, eventually up the ranks, he transfers to another ship and maybe he's like a first officer or whatever. And the captain's looking at it going, I see you spent some time in the brig here. What's this for? All right, you're my kind of guy. I do still have one concern with Mariner, though. I want to see her step up a little bit with some maybe serious command, with stakes not so high, but a little bit, like, because I see her still getting frustrated and making all these little snippy quips here and there, which are funny. It's great. But she gets frustrated a lot. She's got a temper. I want to see that kind of progress a little bit more. She has gotten better, but that's the only thing that I'm wondering about how they're going to handle her, because she's been tested. She's being tested by Ransom. Ransom's in her face all the time saying, I'm going to send you to Starbase 80. So I like that dichotomy between those two. Even though Ransom's this guy that's kind of self-involved and blah, blah, blah. But when he sees what he sees when he comes in the last episode, when he comes to the career day table, I liked that. So I'm hoping that she makes the next leap as well.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's get into some hailing frequencies here. All right. You are listening and watching Union Federation episode 148, Star Trek Lower Decks, discussing season 3, episode 5, Reflections, and episode 6, Geez, I just forgot the name of it. Hear ya, trust nothing. First of all, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network on the Subspace channels. And please check out our Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel. Please subscribe, like, and share. We'd appreciate you helping us out there. And of course, our master feed for all of our audio podcasts are on fpnet.podbean.com, which of course includes Union Federation. You can join our Facebook group, Union Federation Podcast Facebook group. We're in there. We talk, of course, Star Trek and the Orville. And if you'd like to email us directly, you can do that at unionfederation@gmail.com. My name is Kevin Reitzel. I am on Twitter and Instagram at @Spartan_Phoenix. Amy, where can you find you?
Well, you can find me co-hosting a couple other shows that are also here on the Fandom.
Yeah, you're being a little busy on the BQN there. Let us know.
Oh, yeah. So All Good Things, which talks about all of Star Trek. Let's see, what was our last episode? Oh dear, you're gonna have to cut that out. I can't quite remember.
That's all right. you've got a plate full, so that's okay. We're allowed.
Yeah. Also co-hosting Galaxy Class, which is about Next Generation. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, and of course in our Facebook group.
Yes. And our other crew members couldn't make it tonight for this. And that's, of course, Haley. She's on Twitter at Trekkie01D. And, of course, my buddy Kyle, co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network, is also on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom.
Glad that he is safe from Hurricane Ian.
Yeah. I had a long talk with him about that. For those that don't know, Kyle lives in Florida, and he was just north of a lot of the really bad devastation. And it was a tough situation. He had to spend time at his parents' house on his dad's birthday patching the roof. Wow. So he's spending some much-needed time with his dad tonight watching their favorite football team and spending a little late birthday gathering. So
good. Yeah.
Now, BQN, you can find the BQN on Twitter and Instagram at BQN Podcast. And you guys also have your BQN Collective Facebook group as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, looking into that Orb of Prophecy that we acquired from Deep Space Nine, we will be discussing the next two episodes of Lower Decks. That is episode 7 and episode 8. And of course, coming soon in October, Prodigy season one, part two comes out.
That's the end of this month, Kevin. In October.
I know, right? God, it's coming fast. And then right now, tentatively, we have Star Trek Picard in February of 2023. And I haven't heard of any updates, but we are having Discovery Season 5 in 2023 and also Strange New World Season 2 in 2023. Amy, do you have any information on that?
I would sure love to have information next time we record, because there is the New York Comic Con and there's going to be a 90-minute panel that will have Prodigy, Strange New Worlds, and Picard Season 3. So all of the TNG cast will be there, including Marina. It's almost making me want to fly out to New York City.
that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, there's always some good information coming out of that show. So hopefully
we'll have some news and maybe get a Discovery or Strange New World date or, you know, trailer or something.
I just want to say, I know some people have, you know, don't like the idea, but I cannot wait for the Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks crossover. I cannot wait. I want to see live action. I want to see animated on both those things. And I hope that happens. Please.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Anyway, Amy, it is very good to see you again. Looking forward to doing this again with you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us here for Union Federation. And we will see you next time. Hailing frequencies are now closed.